Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 16, Text Number 3, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Atha, api, udara, shravasaha, pritoho, harehe, kala, avatarasya, katha, amrita, adritaha, yata, upadesham, munibhihi, prachoditaha, shlaghyani, karmani, vayam, vitanmahi, atapyudara shravasa prithor hare, kalavatarasya katamrita dhritaha, yatopadesham munibhif prachoditaha, shlaghyani karmani vayam vitanmahi, atapyudara shravasa prithor hare, kalavatarasya katamrita dhritaha. Yatopadesham munibhih prachodita, shlaghyani karmani vayam vitanmahi, kalavatarasya katamrita dhritaha, yatopadesham munibhih prachoditaha, shlaghyani karmani vayam vitanmahi, Ladies, Atapyudara Shavasa Prapitohare Kalavatarasya Katam Ritadritaha Yatopadesham Munibih Prachoditaha Shagyani Karmani Vayam Vitanmahi. Atapyudara Shravasa Prito Hare Kalavatara Syakatam Ritadritaha Yatopadesham Munibih Prachoditaha Shagyani Karmani Vayang Vitanmahi Atha Api Nevertheless Udara Liberal Shravasaha Whose fame Prithoho Of King Prithu Hare hey, of Lord Vishnu, Kala, part of a plenary expansion, Avatarasya, incarnation, Katha, words, Amrita, nectarian. Adritaha, attentive to, yata, according to, upadesham, instruction, munibihi, by the great sages, prachoditaha, being encouraged, Shlaghyani, laudable, karmani, activities, vayam, we, vitanmahi, shall try to spread. Although we are unable to glorify you adequately, we nonetheless have a transcendental taste for glorifying your activities. We shall try to glorify you according to the instructions received from authoritative sages and scholars. Whatever we speak, however, is always inadequate and very insignificant. Dear King, because you are a direct incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all your activities are liberal and ever laudable. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. However expert one may be, he can never describe the glories of the Lord adequately. Nonetheless, those engaged in glorifying the activities of the Lord should try to do so as far as possible. Such an attempt will please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya has advised all his followers to go everywhere and preach the message of Lord Krishna. Since this message is essentially Bhagavad Gita, the preacher's duty is to study Bhagavad Gita as it is understood by disciplic succession and explained by great sages and learned devotees. One should speak to the general populace in accordance with one's predecessors, sadhu, guru, and shastras. This simple process is the easiest method by which one can glorify the Lord. Devotional service, however, is the real method, for by devotional service one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead with just a few words. Without devotional service, volumes of books cannot satisfy the Lord. Even though preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement may be unable to describe the glories of the Lord, they can nonetheless go everywhere and request people to chant Hare Krishna. Om Jnanatimi Randhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manumapi Shachi Putra Matra Swarupam Rupam Tasya Grajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yataf Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This verse is in praise of Maharaj Prithu, who is an avatar of the Supreme Lord. Jiva Tattva, but avatar of the Supreme Lord. Everything that is said in this verse and purport is also completely applicable to Srila Prabhupada. We are unable to glorify Srila Prabhupada adequately, but nevertheless we have a transcendental taste for glorifying his activities. We shall try to glorify you according to the instructions received from authoritative sages and scholars. Well, we learned all the instructions of the authoritative sages and scholars from Srila Prabhupada himself. Whatever we speak, however, is always inadequate and very insignificant. Dear Srila Prabhupada, because you are a direct incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada was directly sent by Krishna to this world. All your activities are liberal and ever laudable. So we're worshipping Srila Prabhupada as Ganga is offered to Ganga by reciting from his own books in praise of him, and everything that we do and say is coming from him. So in even the very fact that we are praising him and that we should praise him, we learn from him. There is a description of Vyasa Puja in Tokyo, and Srila Prabhupada's disciples there present with Srila Prabhupada at the time really didn't have much of a clue how to do it. So Srila Prabhupada said, okay, just, they were trying this and that, and Prabhupada said, okay, cancel it, let's do it tomorrow. I'll tell you how to do it properly. For instance, Srila Prabhupada said, where is the pushpa? Which means flowers, but they thought pushpana. So they thought, okay, we have to make some, there were no flowers brought. So Prabhupada said, where is the pushpa? And then they rushed into the kitchen and made some pushpana, which is literally means flour rice, but there are no flowers in it. It's like, you know, where's the pushpa? Here's the pushpa, Prabhupada. Oh, okay, I'll tell you what to do tomorrow. So we learned to some extent. Talking about flowers, I noticed last night, well past 11 o'clock, the lights on in this hall, and presumably that was the devotees putting the flowers, and they continued this morning. So Obviously, many devotees have put much effort into making this festival a festival, because festival means flowers, among other things. It means a lot of hard work, actually. Prasadam is essential in a festival. To have as many people present possible is essential. And then you have to feed them all. That's stated in Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? That what is that verse? The mantra hinam asrishtanam. No, that's Shraddha hinam asrishtanam mantra hinam adakshinam yagya virahitam. No, I'm getting it all mixed up. Look up mantra hinam. Vidihinam asrishtanam mantra hinam adakshinam shraddha virahitam yagyam tamasa. Tamasam parityakshate. So any sacrifice which is performed not according to the proper rules, without anna, prasad distribution, vidihinam asrishtanam, mantrahinam, without properly pronouncing all the mantras and stating them, without giving dakshina to the priests, without proper faith, that is shraddhahinam. And what's the shraddha virahitam yagyam tamasam parityakshate? Without proper faith, that is in the mode of ignorance. So prasad distribution is essential, and flowers and so many things. So thank you to everyone who's working hard, still going on working hard. It'll be going on all day with prasad distribution. Talking about flowers, there's some nice bright yellow flowers growing just beside the water tank, but no one picks them. I asked you to do that. You didn't do it. So the fortunate jiva is growing in Krishna's temple, wants to be offered to Krishna, so someone can... Someone means someone else. When you hear someone, you think it's someone else. It can be anyone. Anyone who wants to get a little mercy more from Krishna can go and pick those and use for decoration. Now, the translator has the printout of this, is it? Or on screen? Okay, but just... You might get a bit confused because I'm going to be speaking not necessarily... I'll go through the points, but not necessarily in the order given. We're celebrating today the festival of Srila Prabhupada's disappearance from this world. Why it should be a celebration? Someone died. Celebration. Of course, we don't think that Srila Prabhupada died. In this regard, I'll tell an anecdote from San Francisco, 1967, which I just told the other day also, that Srila Prabhupada received an aerogram from India. You may not know what an aerogram is. It's a letter from India, let's say, a letter from India. And the disciples who received it gave it to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada opened it and read it, folded it up, and the disciples asked, "What is it, Swamiji? Is it good news?" Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, good news. My sister died." They were surprised. He said, "She was a great Vaishnava. She went back to Godhead." If you hear someone say someone died, good news, you may think, what a nasty thing to say. But she went back to Godhead, so it's very good news. Srila Prabhupada, of course, he was not separated from Godhead at any moment, as he himself stated in one letter when it seems some disciples may have been questioning his status because they'd heard of Kripa Siddha, Sadhana Siddha, Nitya Siddha, and they were wondering what is Srila Prabhupada's status. And Srila Prabhupada wrote, as far as I am concerned, there is never any stage of my life when I have forgotten Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada came from the spiritual world. He's an incarnation, or avatar is the right word, and a more technically correct word. And he came to bring the spiritual world, and he was never separated from Krishna. So when we say he went back to Godhead, yes, but in other ways, not really, because he was always with Krishna. He was never separated from Krishna, but it is a separation festival. We feel separation from him. The Vyasa Puja books used to have on their cover, on title page, by Vyasa Puja book, I mean the Vyasa Puja books for Srila Prabhupada in the 1970s, when they were published, they used to have on the cover written, Sri Vyasa Puja, the most blessed event. I suspect that that little subtitle was given by Hayagriva. He was very fond of this word, blessed. He used to be the Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the blessed Lord said. I don't know who blessed him. Maybe Sandipani Muni. Well, Sandipani Muni did bless him. So Srila Prabhupada's books used to be subtitled, the Vyasa Puja books, the most blessed event. So what do we say for Srila Prabhupada's disappearance? The most horrible event? The best thing that ever happened to us in any time since we came to this material world, since time immemorial, is that Srila Prabhupada came into our lives and then he left our life. It seems like that. That's why we're celebrating the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada. There is the Ritvik Sampradaya, or Upper Sampradaya, branched off from ISKCON, which imagines that Srila Prabhupada has not left in any way whatsoever, and that it's all exactly the same. It reminds me of an Alfred Hitchcock movie where those who are from the West, English-speaking, may know what Alfred Hitchcock movies are. They're a bit out of date now. In which the whole movie goes on, in which, actually it's not a very nice example, but it shows the strange mentality that there's a man, and you see him talking to his mother and this and that through the film, but you only see her from the backside. And at the end of the film, you see from the front side, and she's dead. So it's not exactly an appropriate example, but the mentality that there's no, not recognizing the fact that Srila Prabhupada has passed away from our mortal vision. Therefore, we have a what is called a Tirubhav Mahotsav. It's not a death. We shouldn't think the spiritual master has died. But he has disappeared from our mortal vision. And there is a difference. The parampara system is, as Srila Prabhupada taught us many, many times, and it's just the tradition and makes common sense that just like the children eventually become parents and then the disciples of a guru, they also take their own disciples. Anyway, it may seem like the most horrible event. There was a lot of crying among Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Some didn't cry, they didn't know what's going on. Sometimes the tears come later. It doesn't hit you. The shock doesn't hit until later. And the tears went on, and they're going on. It may seem like the most horrible event. That's what we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked
Rai Ramananda, Dukamadde kon duk hoi guratar, what is the worst suffering? There are many kinds of suffering. We could go on for hours talking about the different kinds of suffering that are possible in this world, and not just possible, but actually exist. We've all experienced severe suffering in this life. Toothache, for instance, is one kind of severe suffering. Rai Ramananda replied to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna bhakta biraha bina dukkha nahi dekhi par. Apart from separation from a Vaishnava, I don't see any kind of suffering in this world. What is that? Krishna himself says, dukkhalayam ashashvatam. This world is a place of misery and everything here is temporary. But then for the devotees, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. They see those who have got the Kripa Kataksha, the merciful glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For them, everything in the world seems to be full of bliss because they're always remembering Krishna. So we're worshipping Srila Prabhupada today, as we worship him every day, but today is one of the 2 days in the year in which are specially set aside for worship of Srila Prabhupada, which flowers, feasting, chanting, dancing, also discussing his glories. Why do we worship Srila Prabhupada? There could be many answers to this question. He gave us Krishna, he saved us from material existence. One answer is that he gave us the highest happiness. The only real happiness. Everyone is looking for happiness. We don't know where to find it, and therefore we look in the wrong place and we simply suffer life after life in material existence. But Srila Prabhupada gave us the highest happiness, the only real happiness, which is in Krishna consciousness. He saved us from all kinds of misery in this material world, which all stem from forgetfulness of and inimicalness toward Krishna. But he gave us the highest happiness, but he also introduced us to the highest kind of distress, which is stated here. Krishna bhakta biraha bina dukkha nahi dekhi par. I don't see any distress worse than that. Or I don't see any distress whatsoever, Rai Ramananda says, apart from separation from the devotee. He doesn't even say from Krishna, from the devotee. So if we say that Srila Prabhupada introduced us to the highest happiness, the only real happiness there is. He also introduced us to the highest kind of distress, which is the only real distress there is. By bringing us to Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada introduced us to this distress. Of course, the real understanding and the actual fact is that just as in material life, the so-called happiness is distress. Well, in spiritual life, the distress is also happiness. This is very difficult to understand simply by logic. It may not seem like that at all, but because Krishna is all blissful, even separation from him, which is distressful, it's also blissful. By bringing us to Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada introduced us to all the best people in the world, who are the Vaishnavas. He went around the world and gathered all the latent, of course, every living being is a latent Vaishnava, but some were just close and ready to take to Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada gathered many of them up. Many came after Srila Prabhupada's departure from this world also. But then we have to suffer the departure of so many Vaishnavas that we also have to suffer. But we are happy in the knowledge that soon we will be reunited with them all again. And especially among all the Vaishnavas, we have, just like Vishwanath Chakravarti, his family name was Chakravarti, but the Vaishnavas have ascertained that the name is very suitable for him because Chakravarti means an emperor. So he's the emperor among the Vaishnavas. He was the king of all the Vaishnavas at that time, and Srila Prabhupada certainly continues that tradition. There are many great Vaishnavas present in the world, but he was clearly the topmost among them. Therefore we also call him Prabhupada. Prabhupada means he who is at the lotus feet of Prabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada also means who has many Prabhus at his feet, because all Vaishnavas are to be considered as Prabhus, master. He himself taught all these things. So he introduced us to this most horrible event, which is also a celebration. Srila Prabhupada introduced us to spiritual dancing. Go among some Buddhist monks and tell them there's spiritual dancing. Well, they don't even accept that there's anything spiritual, but they have their meditation and they can't imagine that dancing can be spiritual. The Mayavadi sannyasis of Varanasi blasphemed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for dancing. You're a sannyasi, you should be grave, don't dance. But spiritual life means bliss, and the obvious expression or the natural expression of bliss is dancing. So Srila Prabhupada introduced us to spiritual dancing, and he liked his disciples to dance. So we are gathered together today to please Srila Prabhupada, and one way we can do is dancing. Why are you dancing? Why are you celebrating? Because someone passed away. Then you may think that person is very bad. No, he's very good. Then why are you dancing? Because he went to Krishna. Everything about him is glorious. In memory of him, we're dancing. And when we think of him, then naturally we become blissful. And also, he wants us to dance. He wants us to be happy. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. It's an order from Srila Prabhupada. So we should dance for the pleasure of Krishna. And if we do that, Srila Prabhupada will be very pleased. So this is the most horrible event in some ways, yes. We're bereft of Srila Prabhupada's association, direct guidance. And shortly before Srila Prabhupada passed away, he asked those intimate disciples who were gathered around him, who were serving him in those last days he was here, that if there are any more questions. And he said, no, Srila Prabhupada, you've answered everything. And certainly in terms of how we make spiritual advancement and everything is there, but many what we can call theological questions, managerial questions, have arisen. Even some philosophical questions have arisen now. Well, the practical application of the philosophy, just like this vaccine question. I've avoided ISKCON's vaccine wars, apart from so many other controversies going on in and around the ISKCON world. There's the vaccine controversy. Some say, You must get vaccines. Prabhupada would have done it. And others saying, don't get vaccines. Prabhupada would have told us not to get vaccines. And I don't know. I said here in Salem some time ago, I gave a talk, everyone must get vaccinated, right? Remember that one? But it wasn't exactly, yeah, it was a bit different to the way that the vaccine wars are going on, whether you should get jabbed with the needle, what's that called? Hypodermic syringe, the needle attached to that. So, all these kind of there things arise with the advancement of science, and there are things, issues like cloning, and all kinds of things come up. And then, well, Srila Prabhupada gave us all the knowledge we need to deliberate on these things and try to understand. And that's one reason why the parampara goes on, because there are different challenges which arise, and the devotees in disciplic succession have to take the knowledge from the previous generations and apply it in the changing times and circumstances that they find themselves in. So in some ways it's very horrible, and in some ways it's a celebration that Srila Prabhupada, he handed over the baton, if you like, just like in a relay race. Someone runs so far and they hand the baton to the person who's in his team, and then they take it and they have to run on. It could well be said that in many ways we've not done very well. But Srila Prabhupada gave that much trust that we can carry it on. He gave us the baton. Now you take it up. I've given you everything. Oh yeah, so devotees so Srila Prabhupada said, yes, everything I've given in my books, everything we need to become fully Krishna conscious is in his books. And in that way, he's present also. We know that Srila Prabhupada is present among us because he himself said, when he was asked by a newspaper reporter, what will happen to this movement when you die? And Srila Prabhupada said, I will never die, I will live forever in my books. So we know he's present also. But at the same time, we're celebrating his disappearance festival. So in some significant way, life in the international, in many significant ways, life in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, before and November the 14th, 1977, and after, it's different. In many significant ways, it is very different. But in some ways, it's the same. And not to see the difference and to try pretend there's no difference, and that you're giving someone beads and giving them a name and they bow down before you and you don't bow down before them, but you say it's Srila Prabhupada giving initiation. It's a kind of impersonalism to not see the difference. It's different and non-different. Srila Prabhupada is present with us and he's not present with us. Otherwise there wouldn't be a disappearance festival. So not to see that is a kind of maybe wishful thinking. Just to see the abhed and not to see the bhed. That is the business of Mayavadis. They want to say everything is all the same. It says so in Shastra. You see, Srila Prabhupada, it says so in Shastra. Ekam advitiyam, for instance. There is one and no second. It says right there in Shastra. But there are also, that's called the Abheda Vakyas, the statements of Shastra which says there's no difference. But there are also Abheda Vakyas. Tamishvaranam paramam maheshvaram, for instance. He is the controller. He is the supreme. He is the Tamishvaranam Among all the Ishvaras, tam Ishvaranam paramam maheshvaram, among all the Ishvaras, he is the supreme Ishvara, the supreme controller. So there's a difference. It's not oneness, it's difference. So what do? We emphasize one or the other, but we take them both. There is difference and non-difference. But if we say, well, Srila Prabhupada said, I will live forever in my books. But he also said that in future his disciples would initiate. He also talked about he made a will. So he recognized the difference. Not to recognize the difference is foolishness. We can continue to live in him if we take to heart his instructions. He wants to live with us. How does he live with us? By his instructions. We can live in him if we agree to follow his instructions. He is personally present in his books. Personally present. But then again, it's the Mayavadi idea that if he's personally present in one place, he can't be at somewhere else. Just like they say, Krishna, form. So he can't be supreme because form is limited. He's only in one place. But he's also present everywhere. Goloka nivasatyakilatma bhuto. He's present personally, directly in Goloka, and he's also present everywhere in the heart of every living being. So to say that Srila Prabhupada is personally present in his books, yes, we agree, but that doesn't mean that he is not gone back to Godhead, or he's not with Krishna in the spiritual world, or that there's no difference. It's Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. He will never disappear from us if we keep in the sunlight of Krishna consciousness. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andaka Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhika. Krishna is the sun, just like the sun, and Maya is darkness, the antithesis of the sun. Or where there is no sunlight, there is darkness. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andaka Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhika. Where there is Krishna, then there cannot be Maya. So the sun is moving. If we keep moving with the sun, then we'll never be in darkness. Srila Prabhupada gave this example from his experience in traveling westwards on airplanes. That if you take off in the daytime and you keep on traveling and west, and it's a long flight, then by the time you arrive, it'll be dark in the place that you left from, but when you arrive, you like airplane examples. Huh? When you arrive, then it's still light because you're moving with the sun. You're moving. So same example, we keep moving, we keep in the sunlight. So we keep within Srila Prabhupada's instructions. And we'll always be sheltered from Maya. We keep moving with him. We don't stop and say, Srila Prabhupada disappeared. Okay, finished. But we know he's still here. One of my godbrothers told me some years, it must have been in the 1980s, he told me, I met him. He was one of Srila Prabhupada's prominent disciples, but he left shortly before Prabhupada left this world. He had to go. He was in India. He had to go to America for some medical treatment, and he got the news there that Srila Prabhupada passed away. He had been at his parents' house for medical treatment, and then he never came back and joined the temple because he thought that without Prabhupada, everything I'm doing for Prabhupada, and I just can't. His whole life was doing things and reporting to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, we did this, and doing things to Prabhupada. It was very personal and intimate. And he thought, that's not going to be there now. And he said to me that you are, even though I was personally known and very dear to Prabhupada, You are better than me, he said to me. That's his Vaishnav humility, because you've gone on serving his instructions. But I could only perceive Srila Prabhupada in personal interaction. So Srila Prabhupada will never disappear from us if we keep in the shade of his lotus feet, which is like an opposite metaphor to that of the sun. But we keep in his instructions. But at the same time, we fear. The most horrible thing is that Srila Prabhupada will completely disappear from our life, which will only happen if we make the wrong move to go out of the shade of his lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada will never forget us, but we can make the wrong moves by which we come out of the shelter of his lotus feet. It's the most horrible thing that we could think of. What's the most horrible thing we could think of? We don't want to contemplate it even. I could leave Krishna consciousness. We don't even want to think about it. There are so many things we could do in this world apart from chanting Hare Krishna and dedicating our life to Krishna. We could be a normal person. We don't even want to think about it. It's so horrible. It's like going up to someone and saying that, what do you think about, we could torture you and cut off all your limbs. And you don't go up to someone and say, you don't even think about it. I don't know. In the modern age, anything's possible. It's like the whole population of the world, especially in the Western countries, is like a mass insane asylum. It may be that some people would think, oh, that's a good idea, let's try it out. We tried out everything else. Let's try cutting off our limbs or something like this. But it's something you don't really want to think about. But at the same time, we should realize it's possible, because we are very weak before Maya. We should in one sense, contemplate the possibility of falling down, knowing that it's fearful. Just like on a construction site, you don't want and you don't expect that there will be accidents and things that will go wrong, but you should always be conscious that things can go wrong, and especially on a construction site they do, and we get all kinds of accidents, right? Stava Priya's got, what did you do? You slipped or something? Yeah, you slipped and then you hit the stone, was it? There's an iron pipe. So on a construction site, it's uneven ground, and out here there's a big hole. It's not exactly right on the pathway, but in the night, in early morning at Mangalarti time, when you walk, it's quite dangerous. Should be covered or should be roped off. And you think, people have been walking past it so many times and no one fell in, and then one day someone falls in and breaks their leg. It's quite possible. Or there are open electric wires with heavy, heavy, how much voltage was it? 880 or something? It's only 220, but still he got such a shock. It was wet, right, in the rain. He got such a shock. He could have been killed. He's lucky just to have his hands and fingers all out of action for weeks. Narayan also was building his own house using a power drill without the proper safety precautions, and he was lucky not to lose his leg. He had to go to hospital, lost a lot of blood and this and that. So we should, just as on a construction site, or actually anywhere in the world at any time, we should be conscious that there's danger at every step. It's not just a theoretical statement, but there is literally danger at every step. As I've learned from Hrishikesh, and it's makes sense that every time a plane is flown, the what is supposed to be done, it's supposed to be, every component is supposed to be checked every single time before any flight. Because if any little thing goes wrong, then it's very, very dangerous. Even a little toy plane. I remember I got given a gift as a toy plane when I was a kid, and it didn't work. And my father was fiddling around with it for hours trying to work. And just some little thing was missing. Just didn't work. So danger is there. Danger at every step. The most horrible thing we can think of is Srila Prabhupada's disappearance from our life. And we stop dancing. Or we start dancing to the tune of Maya. And we may think, no, I've been chanting so many years. I'm doing pretty good. But we see that, unfortunately, there are many who took the gift of Srila Prabhupada and went along with it very well for some time. And then after some time, they lost it. They lost the track. Something happened, whatever it may be, offenses or just negligence on the path of devotional service, overestimating our ability to resist Maya, and they went away. Even some devotees who had intimate association with Srila Prabhupada, some of his most trusted leaders, personally trained in every aspect of Krishna consciousness by Srila Prabhupada himself, the tremendous service. Even after Srila Prabhupada passed away, they did tremendous service. And then at some time they just went away. Even in his presence, some of his most trusted leaders, they just fell away. And Srila Prabhupada would try to reinstate them and bring them back, but somehow they were in Maya. So it's so very, very dangerous. Srila Prabhupada gave his so much time and energy to certain of his leaders, and still, it's not that they were inimical to Krishna consciousness or to Srila Prabhupada, although one of them did take up such a mode. But and they realized, if you speak to them, they say, yeah, I'm in Maya, but they couldn't keep up. It's not that they're against Prabhupada, but they just lost the strength. So Srila Prabhupada emphasized again and again and again and again and again, follow the rules and regulations, rise early. We're worshipping Srila Prabhupada. We have to follow his instructions. Rise early, read his books, associate with devotees, engage in the mission of Krishna consciousness. So many things. I spoke about this in one talk recently. I gave a talk recently on Srila Prabhupada and Raganuga Bhakti. And I mentioned in that talk that Srila Prabhupada emphasized again and again and again and again. You'll see in his letters, his personal correspondence, he emphasized again and again and again, following the rules and regulations. And on the YouTube comment feedback, someone said that, well, rules and regulations can make your heart hard. That's true. If someone follows the rules and regulations and thinks they're all in all, they can make their heart hard. But that doesn't mean that Srila Prabhupada told us countless times to follow the rules and regulations, but not doing so properly can lead to adverse effects. Therefore, we don't do so. It's pouring with rain outside. We should take an umbrella. Well, an umbrella could, when you open it, the little iron at the end can go in your eye. Okay, don't use an umbrella. Does that make sense? No sense at all. So, yes, we have to be always careful and cognizant in our practice of Krishna consciousness, but we should follow everything very carefully, rules and regulations. Not only rules and regulations, we have to associate with devotees, have a favorable attitude, not make offenses, so many things to keep us straight on the path. So whoever came in the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, the great souls, no doubt. But they're not the losers for coming to his lotus feet. They can never fully go away. But at the same time, we want to please Srila Prabhupada, and it's pleasing to him if we at least go on with our devotional practices. At the very least, we should go on with our devotional practices. Gratefulness means we should follow his instructions. We say he's present. He's present how? Srila Prabhupada wrote in his dedication to his Srimad Bhagavatam presentation, dedicated to my spiritual master, Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashto Tarasata Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. That means the follower means you have to follow the divine instructions. We have to do our part also. There is a saying that Giriraj Maharaj used to quote, that Srila Prabhupada said, hold on to my dhoti and I'll take you back to Godhead. I asked Giriraj Maharaj, did Prabhupada say that to you, Percy? And he said, no, I'm not sure where I heard it. So it may or may not be true. It's nice, the sense of it is nice, but it doesn't, does it literally mean that? No. What does it mean? And hold on to his instructions. That's what we know he said. Follow his instructions. 16 plus 4 equals BTG. He promised if you follow this four regulated principles and chant 16 rounds, he'll take us back to Godhead. But we can't go on following unless we follow everything else also. That we should really try to chant properly. And we don't bother getting up in the morning because Prabhupada said 16 rounds and four regulated principles. He didn't say you have to go to Mongolia, but he did in other places say, for that you should rise for Mangal Arati. And chanting means chanting in the best possible way, which means avoiding the offenses, which means one of the offenses is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. One of the orders of the spiritual master is to go to Mangal Arati. So we won't get the inspiration to go on chanting 60 rounds of following four regulated principles unless we take the whole process very seriously. Now, as we often hear, and it's true, those who did not get the personal association of Srila Prabhupada, they're not cheated from his association because they can continue to associate with him by divine sound, by following, by hearing his instructions, and following them. There were those who came directly into Srila Prabhupada's physical association. How fortunate, we think, how fortunate are those devotees who came 1966, 1967, very early. But those who are coming now are not less fortunate because Srila Prabhupada connects us to the whole parampara, to Krishna. So the ultimate goal is going back to Godhead. And going back to Godhead, developing love of Krishna. And it's not that only those who directly took initiation from Srila Prabhupada can develop love of Krishna. The process didn't stop when Srila Prabhupada disappeared from this world. Again, we have to understand the disappearance of his vapu, or his what we perceive as his physically active form, does not mean the disappearance of his vani. He lives still in sound. And we can, as Srila Prabhupada said, I will live forever in my books, and you can utilize, you will utilize. So we are all coming into that relationship and with Srila Prabhupada. And again, we should recognize also that according to Srila Prabhupada's instructions, according to the whole parampara system, according to Shastra, we access Srila Prabhupada through his servants. I also accessed Srila Prabhupada through his servants, through his disciples. I didn't have personal interactions with Srila Prabhupada, very limited what I had. But I learned from other of my god brothers. So that process is going on. We should be grateful also to all the devotees. We came into contact with Srila Prabhupada, we came in contact with our spiritual master, and it's a beginning, but in another sense it's not a beginning, because devotional service is general. If one takes to Krishna consciousness seriously in this life, we can understand that in most cases it's a continuation from previous life. So, and even though I was initiated by Srila Prabhupada in 1975, and Srila Prabhupada passed away in 1977. So I was only present when Srila Prabhupada, I was only in Srila Prabhupada's movement while Srila Prabhupada was on this planet for 2 years. But the relationship is eternal. It began for me in this life in 1975, but it's an eternal relationship. It goes on forever. So it may seem to have a beginning, but it has no end. He changed our life completely. He changed it forever. And the relationship is forever. Chokhu dano dilo je janme janme prabhu se. We're connected with Srila Prabhupada. How is that? By service. He is the spiritual master. We are the spiritual servants. He taught us to perform devotional service to Krishna. Devotional service to Krishna via the medium of the spiritual master. So it's service that makes the connection. Srila Prabhupada, among all the many things he taught, all very clearly centered on Krishna, were aspects of Vedic culture. So one thing he taught is that the boys and girls are married very young before they can have any real idea of what it means to be husband and wife. But officially they are husband and wife. And as the girl grows up a little bit, from maybe about the age of 7 or 8, she sometimes goes to the house of the husband, who's also not much older. Srila Prabhupada was about 9 or 10 years older than his wife when he was married. Goes to his house means to the parents of the husband's house, and cook something for him, serve him, and then they get used to the fact, or accept the fact that he's my husband, and then after some time, serving, get the idea of serving. So the connection is made by service. Recently I asked, one of my disciples told me some years ago, he was getting his daughter married. I asked, how old is she? She was about 8 years old at the time. Officially illegal, not according to Vedic law. And then I asked about it and said, oh yeah, she's living with her husband now. She's 19 now. She's living with her husband. So that it becomes a very natural thing. So in the same way, we learn that, yes, we have to serve Krishna. We have to serve the spiritual master. And the relationship is made by service. Westerners and feminists, they can't understand this because they think that they have the Ishvaroham mentality. I am supposed to be served. Actually, the husband serves the wife and the wife serves the husband. Both things are there. And the relationship is made by service. The relationship is made by commitment to dharma, and that we will have children and jointly we raise the children. And it's a very simple thing to understand, actually, but people are so messed up in the modern age. They can't even understand that a wife marries a husband and a husband marries a wife and they stay together and they live together, and they can't understand the basic things. So, So how do they live together? By serving, mutual service, in which the husband takes the leading role. But they're very afraid. They'll exploit us and this and that. They think that any expression of submission to anyone else means that you're being exploited. That's their bad experience. It's a sorry thing. It's their bad experience. But we are to completely submit ourselves to the spiritual master. And the more we do, the more the relationship is deepened. It's the relation, the connection is made by service, devotional service to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada also made it very clear that he is not the prime object of service. It's Krishna, but he is the medium for offering the service to Krishna. And just as in the husband, just in the West they have this thing, you love someone and then you marry. And then after some time you don't love them, so you divorce them and you marry someone else. It's nonsense. But the Vedic system is, or the system is there all over the world, is that you get married and then you before that you have a little practice of service, and then you go on serving, and the connection is made by service. The love comes from service, not vice versa. Some nebulous idea of love, some kind of thing with clouds floating around in the sky, some imaginary idea of loving. But love means you serve, you see, they serve together, that's all. And when that's centered on Krishna, that family life becomes perfect. When the service is there, and not just to each other, to the children, to the elderly parents, that you have your whole role in society, everyone has their service to do within society, and service makes the connection. And by intimate service, then we come to love. Love is not separable from service, but they don't know this, and they think that love means sex, and that's as far as it goes. Sex is in the family relationship. The sex is part of it, but it's not the all in all. It's not the be-all and end-all. It's a part. So our relationship with the spiritual master, with Srila Prabhupada, with Krishna, with the Vaishnavas, actually with every living being, is that we're a servant. Dasanu, 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 dasanu. We're the servant. That is our constitutional position. Servant of Krishna, and because Krishna is the fountainhead of all living beings, so we're also to serve all living beings, especially those who have made their connection with Krishna, the Vaishnavas, and especially the spiritual master. And for all of us who are within ISKCON, we have the connection with Srila Prabhupada, because he saved us. He gave us the link to Krishna. It's something we have story, just like we have in the Bhagavatam. It's a typical love story, but this is from the Bhagavatam, that Devayani was fallen in the well, and what was her husband's name? Is everyone as forgetful as me? Yayati. Yayati. Yayati, by the arrangement of providence, he came and saw her and put down his cloth by which he could come out. So he saved her, a noble young man, and she wanted to marry him. And there are all kinds of stories like that all over the world, real and fictional also. How the dashing young man comes and saves the girl, and then she falls in love with him and she wants to marry him, and they get married. But you see, Yayati said, naturally he was attracted to her, beautiful, and he saw her naked also, but he didn't relish that because he was dharmic.
He gave her the cloth to cover herself. But he recognized she's very beautiful and everything. She wants to marry me. He said, I can't marry you because you're from Brahmana background. I'm from Kshatriya background. It's against Dharma. That was his first consideration. We see throughout Mahabharata, for instance, just like Bhima, Hirimba wanted to marry Bhima, and then he wasn't that much enthusiastic about it, but his mother said, no, you should do so. And she gave the reasons according to Dharma. When Draupadi was to be married to five husbands, and Drupada, her father, said, what are you talking about? That's completely against Dharma. But Yudhishthira explained, no, it's unusually it is, but in this case it's acceptable. The whole discussion was not about how beautiful you are, how much dowry you're going to give, and what kind of job you have. That is also seen, the background. But the basis is Dharma. You get married on the basis of Dharma, and then you live in married life on the basis of Dharma. So the gurus, what do they teach? The guru within Vedic culture means they act within Dharma. And the topmost guru is the one who teaches us Savai Pung Sang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktirad Hokshajaya Haitukya Prati Hataya Atma Suprasidati, who teaches us that our supreme Dharma, as the sages at Naimisharanya, they were very concerned to understand what is Dharma and what is the supreme Dharma. And the supreme Dharma is that by which one can revive one's eternal loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a completely unmotivated way, in a total manner. And that will satisfy us to the heart. So we worship Srila Prabhupada because although there may have been many good people in our lives, many of you may think of probably most of you think of your father and mother. They were very good to you. Unfortunately, there are some people whose mothers or fathers were not good to them. And there are so many cases, especially in the Western world. I don't know why India is so crazy about following the West, which is crazy. There's so many cases of people in the Western world who were mistreated or abandoned by their father and or mother. Or both. Yeah. But there may be many good people in our lives. There may have been teachers who helped us and so many people who helped us. And we're grateful to them for that. But we're supremely grateful to those who give the gift of Krishna consciousness. And again, why do we want to serve Krishna? Why should we be interested to serve Krishna? That answer is given in the Bhagavatam. Ultimately, why do we do it? Because it makes us happy. In one sense, it's selfish. But selflessness in Krishna's service is the best application of selfishness. But we're naturally attracted to serve Krishna. Most of us, we don't study all the Vedas, Vedangas, Puranas, Itihasas, Shaddarshan, and then come to the conclusion we should worship Krishna. But when we come in contact with the Vaishnavas and devotees, we feel, yes, this is what I have to do. That means because in a previous life, aho batashvapacho togariya nyajjivagre vartate namatubhyam tepas tapas teju huvu sasta arya brahmanucha nama grunanti ete. Persons who are always chanting the names of the Lord, even if born in lower families, are understood to have been through all the Vedic processes, otherwise they hadn't have come to this point. So we feel a natural attraction to that. And we feel, I have to do this. And even all our friends and everyone may say, well, that doesn't make sense. You shouldn't do it. It's not good for you. But we feel, I have to do it. We're attracted. The attractiveness of Krishna is attracting us. It doesn't attract everyone. Most people have a good resistance to it. But we're attracted to it. Why are we attracted? We feel this will make us happy. And it does. So we're most grateful to Srila Prabhupada for giving us that which will make us happy in the superlative way. There's nothing better than what Srila Prabhupada gave us. He gave us Krishna consciousness. There's nothing better. And what is that? Learning to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Service makes the connection with Srila Prabhupada. He connects us in bhakti yoga to Krishna. Service makes the connection. And that makes us happy. And we dance. And Srila Prabhupada asked us to dance. He himself prayed to Krishna, "I don't know why you have brought me here to America, but you are like the puppeteer. I am like a puppet. So like a puppeteer makes the puppet dance, you make me dance according to how you pull the strings." So we can also pray to Srila Prabhupada, "You make me dance. Let me be a puppet in your hands. Let me." And also, that's a metaphorical way of saying, let me dance according to Srila Prabhupada's pulling the strings. In other words, let me become just his completely compliant servant. Whatever he wants, let me do. But even frankly, what's the word? Literally, Srila Prabhupada liked us to dance. We should dance. He liked the devotees to dance in kirtan. He encouraged that. We gather every day in Guru Puja, dancing. Srila Prabhupada liked that very much. He would think there's something wrong if the devotees are not dancing. Why are they just standing around? They should be happy. If you're not dancing, there's something wrong there. Daily we have the what we call the Guru Puja for Srila Prabhupada. And even before that, we have at Mangal Arati, we start the day, or communally we start the day. We may have chanted some rounds before Mangal Arati, but we communally, the first thing we do in the fixed program that Srila Prabhupada gave is to chant the Gurvashtaka prayers to the spiritual master, daily reaffirming our commitment to Srila Prabhupada and his service. And there used to be very blissful Guru Pujas. It was the normal thing to have very blissful kirtans in Srila Prabhupada's presence. A lot of dancing, a lot of banging the drums. No one in those days, maybe only Chuttananda Swami, knew all these fancy drum beats. Even no one knew anything, how to play the kirtan. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and bum, 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 and that was it, nothing else. So very, not very musically sophisticated kirtans, but a lot of bliss, dancing in Srila Prabhupada's presence. That was there from the commitment. Devotees were, just as Srila Prabhupada fully gave himself to Krishna, set the example, and he expected his disciples to fully give themselves to Krishna. And then the expression of happiness, it comes out automatically. The devotees are dancing and dancing, and all the kirtans should be like that, especially the Guru Puja. That should be. But that will come if the devotees are fully giving themselves to Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, then automatically that feeling of happiness, Krishna will reciprocate, Srila Prabhupada will reciprocate, and our hearts will be full of happiness, and we'll be dancing on the disappearance day. Disappearance day means we're dancing for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. Dancing, what's the celebration? Someone died. No, they didn't die, but disappearance means he left this world. And that day, I don't know how many devotees were dancing. Actually, on the day that he passed away in the evening, and I was in Mayapur at the time, we didn't get news till the next morning, just after Guru Puja, it was announced. Because in those days, you know, phone systems in India, to phone from Vrindavan to Mayapur, and it wasn't working very well. It was amazing they got through so quickly. The next morning we got the announcement, and I don't remember anyone dancing. Everyone was shocked, actually. It was just, we'd just come back from a traveling Sankirtan book distribution, and our program was to come one day, clean out the van, put in more books, and go back the next day. So if the announcement had come a little later, we might have not have known for weeks or months. There were some devotees who didn't know even. Dhanakaraj was in Africa. He was traveling around in Africa, and he didn't even know till 2 weeks later that Prabhupada had passed away, when someone told him, some member of the public told him. He didn't even know. So I don't remember anyone dancing at the time, but we should dance, because Srila Prabhupada will be pleased by that. But the best dancing comes when we're really giving ourselves in Krishna's service, and then there's that reciprocation. Even in separation, there are happy feelings also. It's bitter and sweet at the same time. Srila Prabhupada said about Rath Yatra, he explained, Jagannath Rath Yatra, this is a feelings festival. It's a festival of separation, that the gopis are feeling separation from Krishna, and they want to bring Krishna back. So he called it a feelings festival. So in the same way, the festival, Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, it's a feelings festival. I don't know if all of you feel it the same way, because when you join this movement, Srila Prabhupada has already disappeared from our mortal vision. So you might not see it the same way. But feelings should be there. We can't legislate. Actually, that is stated, isn't it, in the Nectar of Devotion. That's one of the... Everything should be done with great love. But it's a rule, but it's not. You can't just turn it on like an electric current or something. You can't turn it on. But if you do everything else, then the feeling will come. A few years ago, I had planned in advance, and I attended the Srila Prabhupada Disappearance Festival at one of the major centers of ISKCON in India. I was very disappointed. It seemed to be done just like a formality. They did everything, they did Guru Puja and offering and everything, but it just seemed to be like the atmosphere was like dead or something. Almost all the devotees in their temple are paid for doing their service. So the motive is different. You know, when devotees are fully giving themselves in service, then the bliss will flow. And you may say, well, why so much feeling? Well, it's a silly question almost. It's like, why are you crying? Oh, my mother died. So why are you crying? There's no need to explain anything more, is there? Why are you looking so sad? My mother died. Oh, why? So what? So, there's no need to say anything more. Srila Prabhupada passed away from our mortal vision. We couldn't imagine how we could go on, but we did. It took months, actually, for ISKCON to... Well, in many ways, everything went on. The aartis went on, the kirtans went on, and the book distribution went on. But it took months for devotees to adjust to the fact that Srila Prabhupada wasn't present. We'd have classes almost every day in which the speaker would speak about how we're going to go on now Srila Prabhupada isn't present. We have to come together and serve him together. It was unimaginable that Prabhupada would leave. But we got used to it. That we have to go and serve in Krishna without Srila Prabhupada's personal direction and guidance. It's like young children. They're orphaned at a young age. They have to grow up very quickly, especially the elder children have. The elder children may be just 12 or 13 years old, but practically they have to take the role of an adult immediately to help look after the younger children. Maybe you have, say, 7 or 8 kids, and the eldest one is, say, 12 or 13. Then they have to become an adult quickly. And all the other kids have to adjust to living without the protection and shelter and personal guidance. Of course, it may be if the parents die early, then in the Indian system at least, then the child will be taken care of by another member of the family, just like there's Gopijana Vallabh. Was that the case? I heard that he was raised by the uncle, the father's son. Was that right? The father died very early? Yeah, so he was raised. But we didn't have that option so much. Srila Prabhupada hadn't. Well, he had mentioned that we could go for philosophical guidance to his dear godbrother Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, but practically among Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, there was no replacement for Srila Prabhupada in the sense that they didn't have the experience of dealing with a dynamic worldwide preaching movement and so many wild and wacko Western disciples. Srila Prabhupada was able to give that kind of guidance. Srila Prabhupada made the impossible possible for us, that we, coming from our degraded background, can reach Krishna in this very life. If we think about it, it seems impossible. We hear from Brahma Sanghita, Pantastu Koti Shatavatsara Sampragango Vayora Tapi Manaso Muni Pungavanam Sopyasti Yad Prabhade Simya Vinchintya Tatve Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Even great yogis, after many, many lifetimes of trying, can hardly even reach the tip. They can't even reach the tip of Krishna's lotus feet. But by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, it becomes very easy. Krishna Shaitoma, Krishna Dite Paro, Tomara Shokoti Ache. We don't have our own ability to reach Krishna, but Srila Prabhupada has Krishna, and he can give Krishna to us. So, you say Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, it was much easier to reach Srila Prabhupada. We can see Srila Prabhupada. We can personally hear from Srila Prabhupada. We can take direction from him. When there are so many questions would arise, and then what do we do? We try and work it out, and then ask Srila Prabhupada, and then yes, then we know what to do. Should we send all the women in the Western temples to Australia so that all the brahmacharis can be happy? That was one idea. It came to Srila Prabhupada's attention. It seemed to be like a very good idea. Prabhupada said, no. Finished. No more discussion. If we think of it now, it seems like a really wild idea, but it was being seriously promulgated at the time. So Srila Prabhupada made everything clear for us, and he made it very simple to reach Krishna. Manmana bhava mad bhakto. Always think of me and become my devotee. Srila Prabhupada gave a class in France. He started with this line. So what is the difficulty, Srila Prabhupada said? What is the difficulty to always think of Krishna? And in Prabhupada's presence, yeah, what's the difficulty? Seemed to be very easy. All we have to do is please Srila Prabhupada, but he's a hard taskmaster also. He gave us a lot of work to do. He wanted a movement, not stagnation. He wanted it to move fast. He wanted to take over the whole world with Krishna consciousness. He gave so many things to do. So to follow him, all we have to do is please Srila Prabhupada and we got Krishna. But to follow him may not be that very easy. to fully satisfy him. Of course, he may be satisfied. Not that everyone has to be a world-shattering acharya, but he is also very pleased with many simple services, what we may call simple services, just like he'd be pleased to see the women looking after their children. For the women, it may seem simple. I think for the men, it's a puzzle how the women tolerate all the crying of the church, so many things. But it seems insignificant because it's so normal that the women look after their children. So it seems like a very small thing, but Srila Prabhupada is very pleased. So it may not be very difficult to satisfy him, but then if we want to satisfy him fully and in the greatest way, we have to bring all the women in the world to, with their children, to chant Hare Krishna, and all the men also, because if the women come, the men will come also. The Christians know that formula in India, don't they? They get the women first and they convert them, and then the husbands, they have to follow along one way or the other. The husbands don't care anyway, they're drunk half the time. So the kind of class of people they're converting. So, well, it's not that simple, but anyway, we have to please Srila Prabhupada. That's the formula, right? Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado. Yasya prasadanagati katopi. If we please Srila Prabhupada, then Krishna will be pleased. And how will we please Srila Prabhupada? That was asked to Srila Prabhupada. How can we please you the best? Srila Prabhupada said, if you love Krishna. So it's back and forward. It's a ping pong. How can we can reach Krishna by pleasing Srila Prabhupada. How can we please Srila Prabhupada? By loving Krishna. So the two things go on side by side. Serving the Guru, serving Srila Prabhupada, and serving Krishna. Love of Krishna, Vrindavan, gopis, very high level. But even the most basic instruction Srila Prabhupada gave us is completely revolutionary to all of our lives, that we're not the body, we're eternal spirit soul. And you may say, well, the Hindus, they know that. Well, in one sense they do. In the Western world, we didn't even know that. But I don't think the Hindus know that, actually. They have a general idea of reincarnation, but they don't grow up thinking, I'm not this body. Did any of you grow up thinking, I'm not this body? You kind of believe in reincarnation. Just like I was growing up in the Western world, I was growing up in a Catholic family, and we kind of believed in God, but it wasn't anything very important to us. It was just something you have to go to church every Sunday until you get old enough, till you dare to tell your mother, I don't want to go. It just wasn't, it was kind of there, but not really anything very important. So you kind of know about reincarnation, and you believe in it because you're a Hindu, but it's not anything you really thought about, is it? Or it didn't make any difference the way you lived your life. Your life was for this body. So this teaching, you are not the body, that alone it can completely change our life, will completely change our life if we begin to understand it. And this will change the whole world. I'm fixated on this, that philosophically what we need to preach most of all, what is going to change the world, let people understand reincarnation is a fact. Then you have to rethink your whole life, beginning with that. And then there's Krishna, the Supreme Controller. First thing Krishna teaches in the Bhagavad Gita, we're not the body, we're eternal. We are born and we die again and again and again. It's the most basic teaching that Srila Prabhupada iterated and reiterated again and again and again. We are not the body. This alone in itself is revolutionary. It revolutionizes the life of anyone who takes it seriously. And then what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to try to get others to take it seriously. Why are you wasting your human life? For us, it may be theoretical. For Srila Prabhupada, absolutely a fact. He wasn't on the theoretical platform. He would say, "You're not this body," and when you say it, it reverberated. He would say it, it's almost like challenging us. "You're not the body." Why are we so stupidly identifying with this body? It's so foolish to identify with this body. He hammered on this point again and again and again, and we're still trying to understand it. We're trying to understand Krishna and the gopis and dancing in the forest of Vrindavan. Yeah, but meanwhile, in our practical day-to-day life, we're still trying to understand. I'm not this body. It's if we actually understand this, it's going to revolutionize our lives. They call us rascals. Why rascal? Because we don't understand the most basic thing. We're not the body. But it's such a teaching. It applies to everyone. Whether or not you have a PhD, it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference. Whether you have $1 billion or not, whether you're so-called successful in life, it doesn't make any difference. We're not the body. The body is temporary. We have to leave the body. Yeah, we have to leave the body. We're talking about Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. I'm going to have to disappear too. We're all going to have to leave soon. What am I going to say to Srila Prabhupada? I what did I do? You left the mission to us, and now we're trying to promote that we're a yoga society more than a Harinam society, and we're lovey-dovey with so many Mayavadis, and Gurukuls are stopped, and Varnashram Dharma, there's no trace of it. What are we going to say? You may think it's a very prestigious position within ISKCON to be a direct disciple of Srila Prabhupada, but it's also a very, very responsible position. We have to answer to Srila Prabhupada. We're glorifying Srila Prabhupada today. How do we do that? Well, we're looking back and said, Srila Prabhupada did this, Srila Prabhupada did that, he established the movement, so many things. Yesterday I spoke on the achievements of Srila Prabhupada, because it was a formal list. I can say that today, that every disciple of Srila Prabhupada can say that from their own personal perspective, the greatest thing that Srila Prabhupada did for every one of us is that he saved us. He personally saved every one of us. So we can look back in time and say, yes, Srila Prabhupada circled the globe 14 times. He wrote so many books. He established so many temples. That should be said. We should glorify Srila Prabhupada by saying all the amazing things he did in Srila Prabhupada. That's one way to glorify him. Another way is, by looking back. Another way is to look at now and look at the future and how we're going to glorify him by carrying forward his legacy and see what we have to do to practically carry forward his mission. He said that his disciples, especially his sannyasi, should do more than him. That's practically, it seems practically impossible. He gave us big goals to chase. He wanted us to do a lot. He didn't want the Hare Krishna movement to become some religious movement that some people join. He wanted it to become the dominant force in the whole world, so that there's no reason why only we are sitting here. Why just us? Why is the whole world not celebrating Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day? Why not? Everyone has the opportunity, has the possibility. Everyone is a jiva, part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone could be chanting Hare Krishna. Why not? We should see it is our fault. I'm not blaming any of you. You're all working very hard to build this temple, spread Krishna consciousness, serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. But we should always think how we can do more. Most of Srila Prabhupada's disciples no longer directly in Srila Prabhupada's service within our vision. Many left his mission in his presence or shortly thereafter. There won't be many disciples of Srila, direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada left in the world very long. We're celebrating Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, and gradually, one by one, naturally, that is the natural course of time, his disciples are passing away one after the other. So my hope is that all of you, on whom the full responsibility of Srila Prabhupada's mission will devolve, it's already devolving, I'm hopeful that all of you, the disciples of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, will unite on the strong principle of doing what Srila Prabhupada wanted. We may have so many ideas, innovative, this, that, and the other, but first we should see what Srila Prabhupada wanted and do all of these things. And if we unite very strongly on that principle of doing what Srila Prabhupada wanted and remove various speculations and innovations and deviations, then this movement can become all that it's meant to be. It's meant to be the powerful spiritual force whereby Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy floods the world with love of Krishna. So over to you. We're all going. Srila Prabhupada's disciples, we're all leaving this world one by one. Not tomorrow. We don't expect they'll all leave tomorrow. One by one they're going. You have to take that responsibility. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. We'll continue now where there'll be bhajans and this. Up till what time is the Abhishek? Eleven o'clock. There'll be Abhishek of Srila Prabhupada, then bhog offering, arati, and distribution of prasad. So bhajans for today, there are so many. Oh, hey, Vaishnava Thakur, Jayanilo Premadana is a must on disappearance days. Gurudev, Kripa Bindu Diya, all these songs. You know very well, you're singing regularly and teaching others to do so also. Hare Krishna, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. All glories to the faithful servants of His mission. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Dante Nithaya Churnakang Padayoni Patyakrit Vacha Kakushatameta Raham Ravimi Hey Sadhava Sakala Eva Vihaya Durat Goranga Chandra Charane Kuruta Nuraga Ha Parivadatu Jano Yata Tata Va Nanumokorona Vayang Vichara Yamaha Hari Rasa Madhira Madati Mata Bhuvi Vilutama Nartama Nirvishama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Okay, time for little girls to come. Amazing, they sit all through the talk without screaming or yelling. Pretty good. Must have been great rishis in their last lives. Okay, little girls. Please come.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you.